pleased to have Mike Mechikowski come and speak to us. Mike, are you ready to go?
I are ready, as my wife would say.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Nice to see you here today. We can start out with a word of prayer, which is always really good. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here, for being chosen members of the church, which is Christ's body, to have the understanding of your precious word that you've allowed us to have. It's a great thing. I'm sure we can, as time goes on and we realize our calling at your right hand, we will never be thankful enough. As Paul says, the sufferings of this present time, he said it during Acts, but I think it's applicable today, are not even worthy to be set up and compared to the glory that shall be revealed through us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And much more, we have much more than that in actuality and mystery and truth. So we thank you for that. We thank you for our health as far as bringing us here. And all the silent prayers that we have in our hearts, we pray that we might seriously leave them at your feet and trust in you in all things. You have us not lean to our own understanding, and we pray that we might be men and women of strong faith. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, it's really great to see you here today and to have fellowship with you. I'm having a great time. My wife and I always have a great time. This is these are our vacations. We don't. We might slip away to a national park once every 5 years or something like that. But other than that, we would like to go to conferences where there are people that understand the truth concerning the supreme revelation of the mystery as given through the Apostle Paul. That's what we love to do. We love to get together with you guys in the Lord. We find that to be more rewarding than anything else in life. All right. Well, and we hope that when you fellowship with us, we hope that your feelings are mutual. As far as we're concerned, as far as liking us and stuff like that. I know that with me it's not hard, but with Diane it might be. might be a little tougher there. She's she comes from Illinois and she's Yeah, amen. There's Tommy there. They're life, they're right out there. They don't hesitate at all to live and to talk to you and stuff like that. That's, they're right there in front of you. That's nice. Well, getting to serious matters, with all due respect to the Lord and Bob gave us, I believe it was Ephesians 3, 4, 5, and 6. Is that what the theme of the conference is?
I think it was just 5 and 6.
Oh, 5 and 6. Yeah, well, there, in Ephesians 3, 1 through 10, there's myriads of truth there to be handled. And I believe that that Paul and Jack and Tilo, that's Tony Lopez, by the way. Tilo. I'm gonna make him red now. Because like last night, he says, "Oh, yeah, I'm Tilo." And I'm like, "What?" we were having... whatever that eruption chocolate cake, that's what they called it, eruption chocolate cake last night. And I don't know, I said, are we going to have our livers erupt? I don't know why they called this eruption chocolate cake. I think he called it lava cake or volcanic cake. But we were talking, him and his wife and everybody were in that restaurant, and he says, "Oh, yeah, they call me Tilo." And I'm like, "Well, does that mean you're part of the hood or..." Oh, no, he's, Tony Lopez. So, Tilo and Jack and Paul, they've covered so far the intricacies somewhat of these verses. So what I decided to do, and we have other men coming up, so it's like my mind went, well, there might be some overlap going on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of take a tangent study. With all respect to Bob, and I think it deals with our calling, because my tangent study is going to be concerning mysterion in the scriptures, mystery. And that's what this word is, mysterion. And we're going to look at the various mysteries in the scriptures. Various mysteries in the scriptures. And that's what my study is going to be, in honor to the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and to our Heavenly Father. Mysterion. By the way, I have to stress this. What we've been given by Almighty God should never, ever be taken lightly in any shape, manner, or form whatsoever. You know, if you ever do that, hit yourself in the head. Because, you know, our flesh is one thing, but what we've been given by Almighty God should never, ever be taken lightly. I want to stress that through this study. Because we've been given marvelous things that the scriptures say that even the prophets of old would have loved to even understand. That was even said in scriptures about the mystery of Christ alone, that they would have given anything to know these things, and yet we can know all of them. We can know the mysteries and study about them in God's precious word, from the ultimate mystery that we're part of to the mystery of Christ and these other mysteries that I'm going to get into. So maybe we should realize at times how blessed we are with the tools and the Word and the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about whatsoever. I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be standing here in this great place. I wouldn't be talking about the Word of God. Maybe I'd be playing golf somewhere and be into making money or something, or who knows, on this planet. You know, but it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sealing of the Holy Spirit that we can know such marvelous things of the living God. And I believe that that's part of resurrection power, you know, like I threw that around. What is this abundant resurrection power in Ephesians 1? That Paul talks about the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You're talking about Almighty God. You know, so this exceeding superlative greatness, this almighty power that's bestowed on me, what is that? Should I be feeling something? You know, should I be, you know, how does this work? How does this work in a human being? How does this work? And I have thoughts like that. I can't help it, because I like to know things. And, you know, how does this power work in a 5'6" Polish guy walking around that eventually is going to fall into the dust? How does that, should I be feeling something? Should I be knowing something? Should I be feeling something or knowing something that I'm greater or lesser or what? Well, it's worked in humility. That's the beauty of it, is that this power, the Lord's power, is worked in this humble veil here, this humble veil that we're in. And that's the beauty of it, because through the Holy Spirit, you can understand that power in your heart's eye through the Holy Spirit. I know you understand my words. I know that. And they're the words of the scriptures that you might be enlightened to know what is the hope of your calling. This is something you should know. Something that you should know perfectly, by the way. Epigenosko is knowledge. It's perfect knowledge. It's a full knowledge. So it's like, here's something else again, a superlative. Not only does the Lord want you to know his calling, but, or your calling, but he wants you to fully know it, perfectly know it. He doesn't want you to be ignorant, dummies at all, whatsoever. And lending from Jack, I mean, he's working on his church today, and we are his church. Now, this isn't to build us up like Satan, like a pride thing like Satan at all. Because I think in all of this, we're learning the humility of the Son of God and the greatness of the power of Almighty God and His truth. You know, it's like we're walking in the steps of the Son of God, somewhat in that. I mean, He was the creator of all things, yet He humbled Himself. I mean, fantastic. Even that truth is mind-blowing, that God came to earth in the flesh. I mean, have you ever really thought about that? Have you ever really thought about that? That God came, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, go on, get your telescopes and all the stuff, and get your microscopes. Telescopes, microscopes, study anything. He was the creator of all that, and He came here. What? You know, I mean, you're kidding. You know, that's what my mind says, you know, to get a grasp of that. You know, and then we have testimony that guys learned of Him, touched Him, felt Him. This was the Word that was with the Father from the beginning. They knew that. Oh, what? Oh, how beautiful. And yet we have these scriptures that testify completely of Him, of His coming, who we are in Him. We are His fullness. Lean on that one in your mind for a while. Try to get your mind around that one. We are the fullness of the Creator, really? What does that mean? You know, so. But at any rate, let's get to our study. Musterion. There's a few Musterions in the Scriptures. One you know about and you're beautifully part of. Musterion, something concealed that can be revealed. So it's something, a secret, sacred secret, something revealed by concealed by God that can be revealed. Once it's revealed, it's not a secret anymore, but to those it's not revealed to, it is a secret. You know, but, you know, the secret of the Musterion, the Church of Christ's body, has been revealed. And the reason why He revealed it through the Apostle Paul after He set Israel aside as a nation is a beautiful, marvelous thing, and it has to do with the work of His battle against the evil one. Because the evil one was taken by surprise. We can know that. We know that the Shining One was taken by surprise by this unfolding of this truth that was hidden in God. Not found in the Scriptures. I mean, this is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling information that we know. You know, I mean, how important is this Holy Word? We're probably all not really aware of the history and the importance and of how this Holy Word to have. I'm saying that to me because I think that about me. I'm not aware, you know, the prophets and Moses and the law and all those things that were given by God, and then the apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Acts period, all the blood that was shed, and all the history is here, you know, and we're so rapidly moving. I am rapidly moving in life that this is life. This is life here. We're gone in an instant. We're here and gone in an instant. This is life. You know, so something concealed that can be revealed in God's precious word, it's what can be known. Musterion, steady on truth, only through revelation from God Himself. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent of musterion was the word rays, I'm probably not saying that right. R long A Z. Rays, Raz. And then the translators of the Hebrew that produced the Septuagint, or roughly around 300 BC, they used the word musterion to translate the Hebrew word mystery. By the way, in the Old Testament, musterion was used by kings when they would call their captains and generals and great men together before a campaign. And they would all get in a secret off to the side meeting room, and the king would decide what his inner thoughts were about the campaign of the battle or whatever they were going to go into, to his trusted captains and generals. He would communicate to them the secret counsel of his will. Well, let's read Ephesians 1:3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having foreordained or predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he, the Father, has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the secret counsel of his will, like a king in the Old Testament. So, you are privileged individuals that have been given the secret counsel of the Father's will through mysterion truth. What does this mean? What does this mean? I think about this and I think, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean? Should I go out of this place and feel like Alexander the Great, going out to conquer and make war with this power that I have because you tell me it's true? I mean, I think like this. You might think, well, Mike, you need some help. But I think like this. I have this power of Almighty God working in me. But the beauty of it is he's working it in meekness and weakness and humility. And that's his way. That's his way. You know, but otherwise, the truths are, is that the Father of lights, the Father of glory, has given unto you the secret counsels of his will in this word. And it just is true. It just is true. And my face tingles when I say this. I mean, I'm not that any fleshly emotion should be a part of anything. You know, but did you ever cry when you learned of things of the Lord? You know? Did you ever weep when you realized what he's given to you, a fleshly man or woman? Did you ever weep in your heart that you can't believe such things? Because you all of a sudden you realize that they're true? Okay. Well, when I'm standing here saying these things, that's what I feel like. Because I know they're true, but to have some sort of beaming, glorious power, it's not gonna happen here. And that's how he works. And it's how he works. It's how he wants to do his plan for the ages. It's how he wants to work with his truth that he hid in broken vessels, weakened vessels. You know, but to understand the beauty of these things, he's allowed us to have that enlightenment in our hearts and minds. He allows us to have that. And see, that's why we don't have to go anywhere to have fun and joy, because there's eternal, abundant joy in being just who we are in the Lord. You know. So, let's turn back to Daniel. Because I got 35 minutes. But we're going to turn back to Daniel. And we're going to be... What I want to do is I want to go to Daniel, 1 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, Romans 16, discussing mystery, mysterion truth. I want to go to Matthew 13, 1 Peter 1, Romans 11. I want to go to Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and Colossians 1 in 32 minutes. Okay? That's my study, and I'm like a quarter of page one down so far. You know, and Daniel 2, and Daniel 8, and Daniel, I mean, I'm not doing this to be funny, and Daniel 8 through 12 chapters. So there's what you have to study. But interesting, we're going to go to Daniel, because what Daniel talks about is he talks about a mystery. He talks about the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. And that image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw was a dream that he had that really bothered him. Really bothered him. And at the time, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm just going to kind of spitball here, which means I'm going to try to guess, but I'm going to say that he probably was God on earth at the time. If he wanted some men to die, he died. If he wanted some man to live, he lived. You know, just like he did with Daniel and his fellow servants, he decided to kill them along with these other prophets that couldn't answer his questions until Daniel said, "Hey, wait a minute, I might have the answer to this image for you." And he gave him the answer, and then King Nebuchadnezzar realized that Daniel served the true God. All right? And what Nebuchadnezzar did is he tried to consult the Ashefim, the astrologers. All right? Okay, so just think about mysterion truth. Think about what the Lord's given you, the counsel of his wills, and then look at what mankind does with things. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2, 1 through 5, let's read it. And the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, "O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me, if you will not make known to me unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces." So this king was, he was really something else. He had a dream, and hey, snap to it, you, what are they again, the astrologers, the Ashefim. Oh, their heads were on the block. They were living a good life because they were men set apart, like the Pharisees. They were these Ashefim. What they thought they could do is they thought they could have the answers of the heavens for the king. So think about that. Think about, in this picture, think about our dear Heavenly Father, what he's given you in the true counsels from the heavens. And here you have this interesting, powerful, in the flesh king, and what he does. He takes these special group of guys who say, "Oh yeah, king, we have the counsel of the heavens to show to you." He goes, "Okay, oh yeah? Okay, well, prove it. You tell me." You know, they had some connections with the evil one, and they could do things and know about time, things, or, you know, some sorcery things, but all of a sudden he said, oh yeah, well, you tell me my dream, I'm not even going to tell you. And they were stumped. You know, so their power of understanding the voice coming out of heaven, whatever that meant, was not there whatsoever. And then in steps Daniel. And Daniel, in verses 10 through 13, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, no ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. So now these guys are trying to pass the buck. They're saying, well, you're asking too much. I mean, we could tell you what God thinks from heaven, but this is beyond that. They're saying, no, king, you're whacked. You're going way too far. You know, we can only know certain things out of heaven, not this. And in verse 11, and it's a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with the flesh. You know, for this cause the king was angry and furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain also. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Turn to verse 17 through 23. Verses 17 through 23. Then Daniel went to the house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning this mustadion, this secret. And we know the rest of the truth, that God allowed Daniel to understand such things for the glory of Almighty God. So right in this, you know, and I could go into more of that, but you should read Daniel 2, Daniel 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And what this truth was about was the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And basically what he saw in this image was God's pictorial view of history to come. Even the coming of the Son of God, and possibly at the feet, even the coming of the evil one, with an intermittent point between the toes. Let's just, you know, I'm not good at drawing, so leave me alone. Between the toes and the end of the... My dad's an artist, by the way. A real good one. Between the ankle and the feet, right here, and this is where the rock, Christ comes down, whammo, and topples this image of man. And then in this space here is mustadion truth concerning the church, which is Christ's body. We can know this. We can know, and then eventually the evil one will come here in Revelation, in the feet, made of clay and iron, I believe. And the thing of it is this was gold on the top, silver, it was top heavy. Amazing, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Eventually these feet, which are made of clay and iron, will be easily busted, and this image will topple down. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel, and Daniel interpreted it to him. So Daniel had this mustadion given to him, mustadion given to him by the Lord. We can know it. We can read it, we can study it, we can know that. Awesome. On top of what we know about the secret counsels of the Father, in our truth. Awesome, right? Let's look at another one. That's what this is about. 25 minutes of mustadion. Mustadion truth. All right? There's another one. Because There's a few mysteries in the scriptures, really.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we can understand a lot about them, not only our own. And we can see how God works in these secret counsels of his will that he reveals. And he has revealed throughout the history of his word and the history of the ages. Okay. My mind says, all right. I'll take that. Sure, Lord. I want to know about that, because there's nothing more accurate in life than that, on this planet, in this universe, in our lives, and everything. You know, that's what boggles my mind. It's like there was a period of time where I was searching for myself. Did you ever feel like that in life? Maybe you didn't. Well, I did. You know, I was searching for myself. Who am I? You get this a lot with teenagers. Who am I? Who am I on this planet? You know, why am I here? What's life about? Maybe some people anymore, as things go, I know I'm not going to get to my study. As things go on this planet, I see people not asking that question anymore. It's like they are so, this is what I perceive, they are so involved in the flesh and things, they don't even question life anymore. They just live and grab and exist. They don't even question life anymore. Why they live, what their life's about, what this planet's about. They don't even bother thinking about that anymore. And Jack was talking about dumbing down. Even the more, that's delusion. That's delusional. You know, if somebody can be reduced to almost the level of an animal, where they just are, that's ridiculous as far as God's plan for man, really. So I think as we live on that delusion, they won't even question such things anymore. But I used to question who I was. And there's no better you than in the Lord. I don't know how to say that. I know more about who I am than I ever believed I could in the Lord. If that, you know, so I share that with you. I share that with you because you should know more about who you are on this planet than anybody. No matter what you look like, what your age is, how well you can run, any of that. You know, any of that. This is faith through the Holy Spirit, you know. And you're going to be out of here real quick, you know. As Jack said, and I'm not harping on Jack, I mean, all these guys gave great messages, but eventually we might not be able to have a group like this. Maybe pretty soon. We don't know, you know. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll go over a couple of these important points about mystery, mysterion truth. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's turn to Matthew 13 first. This is the Lord talking to the disciples. And you, I'm sure all of you have read this many times, but it's really interesting. Matthew 13, talking about mysterion truth. There's many mysteries revealed. 13:10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the secret counsels of Almighty God concerning the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So, are we special? Jack says, yeah. Are we special in the Lord because of what we think or do? Not at all. Is the precedent seen in the scriptures? Yes, it is. Because were these apostles so special? Are you going to say to the Lord, hey, what are you doing? You're giving these apostles, these secret counsels, and you're not giving it to this old lady over here? What's with you, Lord? Are you going to say that to him? Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? No, it's the Lord saying that probably because of the heart of these people, they wouldn't care about them. They wouldn't care about the secret counsels of God, just like today. They would trample the beauty of the Lord under their feet. So it's the precedent is here in the Scriptures. It happened before. It's happening again as far as wanting to know the Lord and His great truths. Verse 12, but whoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant, but to whoever has not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And then he goes on to quote Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, which the apostle quotes, by the way, in Acts 28, and it has to do with the rejection of Israel, of the Godhead in totality, which we're going to look at another mystery in Romans 11. Let's turn there. All right, remembering what we've seen. And I've got about 15, 20 minutes, okay? But this is really good, if nothing else, because what it'll show you in studying Steady on Truth is it'll show you how the Lord works. How he worked in Daniel's time with the secret councils, how he worked in the Lord's time, how he was accepted and rejected by human beings. He sent out those during the Acts period for 35 years after he rose from the dead with his message, and a few accepted, but the majority rejected. So, there's a mystery involved in that. Romans 11 has to do with mysterion truth in the Acts period. Not only, well, let's take a look at it. Romans 11. Just have to get the proper reference here. Give me a second. Does anybody know it? 25? Romans 11, 13 through 25. All right? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify in mine office, if by any means I be provoked to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, the nation of Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, and the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some branches be broken off, and thou, Gentiles, being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakes of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, Israel, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, Israel, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou stands by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mysterion, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And at the end of Acts, The nation of Israel was set aside at the last quoting of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, and Israel was set aside as a nation, and they remain blind today. And this time where we are chosen out is the time of their blindness on this image in Daniel. It all is a beautiful work right before us that we can learn about. So we are living in the times of Israel blindness, where all of a sudden the Lord comes through the Apostle Paul and reveals the most awesome secret concerning the counsel of his own will that he has. That is a matter of fact. And that is a matter of us piddly people in this room. We understand it through his word. You know? I mean, that's the reality of it. That is the reality of our lives. Oh, man. I mean, what an excellent life, no matter what we suffer, that we have. And see, this is the power and the joy that can be gleaned from the knowledge of the Most High, because this is truth, and it's beautiful. So there are many mysteries. Okay, 10 minutes. Romans, this is a stumper that a lot of guys... Romans 16. Okay, so far we saw a mystery in Daniel. We saw a mystery in Matthew 13. We saw a mystery in Romans 11. Are these the same as the mystery concerning the church, which is Christ's body? Absolutely not. We know such things. And we can understand the complete... In a framework, the complete plan of God concerning this world, human beings, the universe, His Son, His love, His strength, all these things, you know. And if I can look back when I was 17 years old, which I can, and say, oh man, I don't know who I am. And then at 53 years old be saying these things, oh, I can say, oh man, what a work the Lord can do. Not because I'm anything, just because I'm a short Polish guy that he loved. And see, in each of us, there's something about us that he saw. You know, there's something about us that he saw, because I have brilliant people in my family, much more brilliant than me. But they're dead as they live. They're so brilliant, they're dumb. They're so brilliant, they're fools. They became wise in their own conceit, and they became fools. But there's something that the Lord saw in me in that family. And there's something that the Lord sees in you, in your family. There's something that the Lord sees in you. You're a bulldog for His truth. That's how I look at it. He gives something to Tommy, and He knows that Tommy is going to grip it like a bulldog, because Tommy's heart knows what it is. He knows the importance of what it is. And He sees that in each one of you. That's what I know to be true, and that's why you're here. That's why we're here. That's why He chose you, maybe over your cousin, or over your brother, or over your sister, or over your friend at work, or over any people, is because He sees that tenacity in you, in your heart. And He knows that if He bestows these mysterion truths to you, you're going to love them. You're going to love Him. You're going to say, hey, you know, Lord, I don't care. I don't care about all the things happening out there. I don't eventually care what I have. I don't care what I have here. I don't care how much money I have. You realize you realize the power and the truth of what he's given you in his plan. And your mind says, I don't care about all these dead things out here. They're dead, they're dying, they're going to burn up. That's their end. This whole world's going to fry. That's its end. You know, so he sees that in you and in me. I know that to be true. I know it. That's why you are chosen by him. It has nothing to do with your pedigree or your riches or your poorness or your weakness in your flesh or your strength in your flesh. Nothing like that. It has to do with your heart and how you're going to love him. Yeah. So he bestows these things upon you. Romans 16, 25 through 27. Is this the mystery concerning the church, which is Christ's body? Some guys have written in the past that it is, and that it was kind of added to Romans at the end by Paul. Well, I'll have to testify that I don't believe it is. Here we go. Another mystery. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mysterion, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Well, the mysterion, stadion, concerning the truth about the fullness of the church, which is Christ's body, wasn't found in any prophetic writings whatsoever. And if we could go back in time and look at these prophets and these scribes and how they handled the scriptures, I could stand up here and give you a lesson on how they handled the scriptures and how they washed and how every letter had to be accurate, couldn't touch another one, had to be a certain amount of letters, had to be a certain space apart, had to be on a certain parchment. They had to be clean. They had to be clean before and after. All of these things that had to do with these prophetic writings and the painstaking work that these prophets did and everything. And then to realize what the Lord's given us, all these things we should study about and know. But Romans 16, if anybody ever says, oh, is this a mystery concerning the Church of Jesus Christ's body? No, it's not. There's also a mystery concerning all when the Lord returns in his parousia. All that when he comes back, there's going to be some in the grave and some alive. That's a mystery. Because some will be taken as they live, I would imagine. I hope I'm saying that right. And some will be taken out of the grave. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. That's a mystery. 2 Thessalonians 2, that's possibly talking about the mystery of iniquity. Well, how can the mystery of iniquity be supreme revealed truth? Well, is there iniquity on this planet? Where does it come from? Is it something that the Lord's dealing with? How is he dealing with it? What's his plan? Yeah, sure, that's a mystery. That's a revealed supreme truth concerning the mystery of iniquity. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2. That concerns the evil one. And then, I'm going to end with this. Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 3:3 and Colossians 1:26. I already read Ephesians 1:9. You know, but this is mysterion truth. The counsels of the Most High God. Consider yourself a general that's taken into the secret chamber of the king. I mean, you say, well, Mike, you're... How old are you? You know, are you six, Mike? No. Your generals, your sons, better probably, your sons taking into the secret chambers of the king. And he's going to bestow upon you in prudence, in discretion. Yeah, I know Bob. Because Bob stands for the truth, and he's going to be a bulldog. I'm bringing him in, and I'm going to tell him my secret counsels. Him and his wife, and Barney over there and his wife. I'm going to bring them in, and I'm going to tell them my secret counsels. Think of you as sons of the King. You know, I mean, you know, even though the Lord Jesus Christ, is he our King? Okay, some people say, well, no, he's not our King because he was the King of Israel. But is he our King? Yeah, he's the only God, King, and potentate in 1 Timothy. I might have that wrong, but at any rate, having made known unto us the mysterion of his heart's desire. You know, I can't, you know, what do we do to understand this? Do we make a statue that might look like the Father and have voices come out of him? How do we understand this? You know what I'm saying to you? Like, how do we understand this as reality? How do we understand this as reality? No man has seen God at any time. You know, like, we have a, how do I describe this to you? We can't see the Father saying this to us. He doesn't come down in a beam of light in a loud voice and say this to us. He says it in his precious word, and he expects us to believe it through faith. All right? That's part of you being a pit bull for the Lord. He sees that in your heart. So he knows that he can trust you. And he doesn't have to come down in a light or an angel or a voice. That's how we should try to understand it. You know, because we're limited. You know, we're limited. And sometimes, sorry to say, I'm like, oh, I would have liked to talk to the Lord. And then I think Artis said, well, he wouldn't have given you the time of day. And I went, what? He said, yeah, you were a Gentile. You're a Gentile, Mike. You know, if he would have talked to you, it would have been very special. But other than that, he wouldn't have ministered to you at all. And I'm like, oh, man. Thanks a lot, brother. You know. But I would have liked to talk to the Lord. The Son of God shook his hand. I would have liked to have been able to raise my mother from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh. You know, but that's not for us. Us as a, with us today, we have a supreme walk of faith. We do. We have a strong faith. I'm going to say this as this world goes on, there will be no stronger Christians in the world than us. Because our calling and our hearts and our minds are supposed to be on heavenly places. And that's a strength. That's a strength to carry you through whatever you got to go through. Because your hearts aren't here at all. Your calling isn't here. I don't care about what lions and lambs are going to do together whatsoever. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Great, but I don't care. You know, I don't care about the streets of gold. I don't care. I just don't. And I'm glad I don't. You know, some people say, oh, I'm going to skate on the streets of gold. I don't care. You know, I mean, with all due respect. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that. You can have it. Sorry. Ephesians 3:3, that's how I think. How by revelation he made known unto me the mysterion concerning the church, as I wrote afore in a few words. That means that, you know, I went around and around about this with the guys, and at this time I believe that this is talking about Ephesians 1. Some people say, oh no, he's talking about Romans 16 here, as I wrote afore in a few words. No. He's talking about Ephesians 1. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about mysterion truth. He's talking about the church concerning the fullness of Christ here. He's not talking about prophetic mysterion truth. All right, one last thing, and then I'm done, and then we can get some more energy and fellowship together. You know? And I'll tell you, I really do want to say this. I just love being with all of you. I really do. You're more a family to me than my own family. And, you know, I was going to say some goofy things like, you know, I know that you're not all perfect, you know, or as what? Oh, okay. Well, Colossians 1, 26. No, I mean, I mean, seriously. What? Yeah, we love you too. Yeah, we love you too. Yeah. I love to rip people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love you people, and it's, you know, when I come here, sometimes I'm nervous. I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen that guy. What? Yeah. I haven't seen that guy for a while. I haven't seen that girl for a while. Man, I wonder how I'm going to be, if I'm going to be okay. Am I going to, I pray to the Lord. Oh Lord, just keep me together, make me, good example, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I'm here and it's like, oh, this is great. And then, you know, so I hope you feel the same way. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the grace of God given to me for you to fulfill or fill up the word of God, even the mysterion, which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I thank you for your attention very much, and it's been it's a privilege and an honor to be amongst you. Thanks. Oh, yeah, I'll say, do you want to pray, Pete, over the meal? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.